Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King, and I'm very excited about today's program. It's on the prophetic and revival. In fact, it's going to be so exciting that you will probably have revival in your home by the time we're finished. We have Dr. Michael Maiden with us from Church for the Nations from right here in Phoenix. And Dr. Michael Maiden, I am so happy that you are with us today.
Well, I'm honored to be your guest.
You've become great friends of our ministry. Yeah. Our ministry just loves you.
Well, thank you.
And we so appreciate who you are in the Lord and what you've done in this region, and your prophetic mantle has been a blessing to many all over the world. And so God bless you. We honor you. But today we want to talk about the spirit of revival and how the prophetic is involved in that. And you've been a prophet for many years, walked with the Lord humbly in that office and carefully. And I've been blessed to be under some of your prophetic ministry. I've watched you prophesy, listen to those words come forth, and they carry so much authority. And in the Word, I've noticed that oftentimes that before a move of God comes, there will be a powerful prophetic vision or release, mm-hmm. such as in 1 Kings 18 with Elijah, where he saw the rain coming,
yes.
and he prophesied it, and then he did something about it, though he went and stewarded it. He put his head between his knees and birthed it,
yes.
and he kept his servant going back until he could see the sign of it. Mm-hmm. And when it came, he said, okay, here we are, it's here, and he started moving right into it.
Yeah.
And same with Ezekiel. Ezekiel was shown a vision by God, and then he was given the mandate to prophesy into the valley of dry bones, and then things started happening. There was
right.
movement that began to a point where it became an exceeding great army. And I think that's kind of like how revival's going to look. It's going to be like with God's word being activated, his breath
yes.
coming on a place, and everything coming into line with his power and goodness.
Amen. That's so true, because God looks at things differently than we do. God calls things that are not as though they are. And so when God says something, it begins to create change there. And I love both those stories, because right in the middle of famine, Elijah said, it's all going to change. I hear abundance, not just rain, but I hear revival
right.
rain. I hear a great outpouring coming, and it's on the way. And then he went and prayed it through, and then God did it. And we are living in a time of the open heavens. We're living in a time when God is doing mighty things. And people might be in a real dry place right now, and their church or their city or their environment or even their country might seem spiritually dry and spiritually dead, but God is speaking.
Amen.
He's speaking especially to those dark places
Amen.
And those dry places, that their time has come. And so we want people to know, wherever they're in the world watching this program, that revival is coming, the heavens are opening, and God is speaking forth words, and those words are beginning to create a new environment, a new reality there.
Exactly. In Romans 4, it speaks of Abraham and how he would be a man of faith, believing in the word of God, and the word that can call those things that are not as though they are. The things that didn't even exist before could be brought into being
right.
by a word. And all we need is the heart of God.
Right.
All we need is just one moment for God to speak to us and show us the vision.
Right.
And in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us.
Yes.
And so even if there's a threatened recession or a threatened war
mm-hmm.
or a dry economic time or a dry spiritual time, it's a perfect environment for revival.
It really is, because God delights in doing the opposite things. You know, God always does things in my life at the most inappropriate season. You know, I walked into a building a few years ago, and the Lord said, this is your new church building. Well, it seats 2,000, and I had 120 people. And I started laughing. I said, well, a few years ago, I could have filled this many times. Now you give it to me. God delights in doing things that are impossible when no one else can do anything for us. I just got a testimony from California, a beautiful young family. The doctors told them they couldn't have children. And so I was there a year ago, just over a year ago, and I prophesied they would have 3 babies. And this is a great story, because I just visited the church 2 weeks ago, and they had triplets.
And so
they said, Pastor, we received that word from you. In fact, they just wept over it when God said they would have 3 children. And I didn't know, they didn't know it would be all at once. And it's almost a prophetic insight into now. God's going to make up for lost time. God's going to move at such an accelerated pace that the plowman is going to overtake the reaper,
wow.
that the cycles, the normal cycles are, wow. you know, you do this, it takes years, you push through, you pioneer through, but whole city is going to be won in just a brief window of time because God's going to invade them with so much anointing and so much hunger, spiritual hunger, and so much a display of his power.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. I want it to happen here.
It's going to happen here. That's why God brought you here. We receive you to this area as God's ambassador of love and God's prophetic instrument to help pry open this desert.
Wow.
And the fact that you learned to love the desert after living in the lushness of Canada means that God has, this is your promised land. It's my promised land too. I love it here, even though it's dry and it's different, because God has put our feet here.
I love it here. We're in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of desert around us. And when Ron and I first came to the desert, we went for a drive out, you know, and I was so taken by it. Because number one, it's got an open heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you look, there's sky. Yeah. And I love it. There's no restraint. There's just like, you can dream big here.
Yeah.
But the other thing I noticed is that everything that is around you, everything that's there is there by the grace of God. It wasn't because it had any help from its friends.
Right.
It has very cruel elements coming against all those shrubs that are out there, everything. There's nothing in the natural that should say, you should be here, except God's grace said, you're here and you will flourish because I put you here. And, you know, I'm just sensing right now that some of you are taken by that word because you're saying, well, that sounds like my life.
Mm.
There's no reason why I should even be alive today. There's no reason why I should be here except for the grace of God. And you know, isn't that a wonderful testimony that you can just flourish because of the grace of God and by his grace alone? And in the desert, we have reminders of that. And I believe that we're going to have a wonderful reign of the grace of God here. And people like yourself and many other ministers in this area who have stood the ground and prayed and prophesied and seen the vision for revival. And this goes for many regions all around the world that, you know, you can't grow weary and well doing. You have to wait until you see the results.
It's if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. There are palm trees out here. And palm trees, in the Bible, there's a woman named Tamar. Her name means palm tree. And a palm tree has a root that has like a radar for water. And the roots go down and they will search this way or that way until they find water. And there's something about the dry environment that makes you so hungry for God, that makes you so thirsty for the things of God. And for people that have been in any kind of dryness, the spiritual hunger that starts arising there becomes irresistible to God. And he then connects our root systems to his spirit and then starts flooding in his goodness and grace. And I just want to say, wherever the devil's been having a heyday, wherever there's been darkness reigning over people's lives and families, cities and areas, in those same areas, grace is about to come with a double measure of power. Wherever there's sin, grace does much more abound.
Mm-hmm.
And God's targeting now broken people and broken cities and hurting places. And he's going to send so much grace there that he's going to change the whole environments of those places will reverse and begin to manifest the hidden glory and the redemptive purpose that God made them to express.
You know, Dr. Michael, I think that from what you're saying, it seems like one of the keys is like to have the eyes of God, whatever situation you're in. And that's like what we talked about with Elijah and with Ezekiel.
Yeah.
They had the eye of God on the situation because in the natural environment around them, I mean, they were both drought, dry, you know, there was no life anywhere.
Right.
But they saw beyond that by the Spirit of God. I remember the very first time that we went into Vegas. And people said, oh, Vegas, it's a really hard place.
Yeah.
It's Sin City. It is so hard. There's sin everywhere.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it won't be hard then if there's sin everywhere. It should be easy.
Right.
Because where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. But what we had to do is move our sight from the natural into the divine.
Yeah.
And when you get God's perspective, that's why the prophetic is so important, because when you get prophetic vision, it's not as you see in the natural.
Right.
And you have to keep saying, you know, just like Elijah, he kept telling his servant, you go back.
Keep looking.
You know, you're not coming back with the report I'm looking for yet.
Yeah.
And he persisted.
Yeah. If we have a word from God, when God whispers to our heart or shows us what he wants to do, that's God telling us our future. Then we have to so safeguard that with faith and prayer that nothing can take it from us. You know, when Elisha one day, Gehazi woke up, went out and got water, and he saw the Syrian army surrounding their little village. And he raced inside and said to Elisha, what are we going to do now? You know, and Elijah said, there is more with us than against us. And he said, Lord, have mercy on my servant and open his eyes that he might see how things really are. Mm-hmm. And then he saw two worlds. He saw the natural world.
Yeah.
And having faith does not mean ignoring natural
exactly.
realities. But then he saw hovering over these chariots were angels and their mm-hmm. chariots, fiery chariots. Mm-hmm. And his perspective changed when he saw, like you said, how God sees things. And when we see people, every one of them is so precious to God. No matter how lost or broken or addicted or bound they are, when we can see them redemptively, prophetically, mm-hmm. and see what God wants to do in them, and then start speaking that over their life, we can create change and watch miracles, you know, flow into their life. Same with cities and families and churches. There's and businesses. There's nothing God can't change by His word.
Wow. Just as you were sharing that, I was sensing that there's a woman watching the program, and you and your husband are having a lot of tensions, and part of it is because he's not lining up with where he should be walking with God and with you in your marriage, and it's been so frustrating. You just feel like throwing the marriage away as a result of it. But do you know that if you could get God's perspective and start prophesying mm-hmm. that destiny over your husband
yes.
and start prophesying over your marriage, just get God's perspective. Ask God to show you and let your faith get attached to what God is saying. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't get his word over it, then of course you could be sucked down a vortex into mm-hmm. destruction. But you have God on your side. And I can tell you testimony after testimony of women in your position who have just got a hold of the vision of God Amen. And the word of God and just prophesied life into their husbands, and everything changed. In fact, you know, Dr. Michael, just recently, and it was about two years ago actually, there was a man of God who was going through a struggle and having a difficult time in his marriage and that, and he was ready to throw the whole marriage out, ready to leave the marriage. And if that would have happened, he would have lost his ministry, mm-hmm. he would have lost the respect of people, he would have lost friends, he would have lost family,
yes.
the children would have been hurt, you know, it would have been disastrous. And I said to him, you know, you have faith to church plant, you have faith,
right.
you know, to work miracles, you have faith to prophesy. With the same faith,
Amen.
You can believe for a redemption for your marriage. And it was like, wow, I can, you know.
Yeah.
And then he started just pressing in and praying for his marriage. And now everything has been redeemed. We're going to take a break right now. We're talking about the prophetic and the power of the prophetic to release revival. Mm-hmm. Do you want revival in your life? We'll be right back. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I can feel revival in the
yeah.
air. Do you know what, Dr. Michael? I've been getting little droplets of rain on me for about a couple months now.
Wow.
I'll be in the middle of a preach or something like that, and all of a sudden I'll start feeling rain. When I go to feel it, there's no water there, but it
yeah.
feels like it.
Yeah.
And I've been having that at home. I had it in the studio earlier today. And to me, it's a sign that God is saying, it's begun. You just have to work your faith to step into more of it for the fullness.
Yeah.
But I want you to share with us about what you see, because you're a prophet, and I know that you've seen glimpses of what is about to take mm-hmm. place, and you've seen the miracles and that. And why don't you share a little bit about what God's shown you?
Well, I feel like we're on the verge, and on the verge means that God's begun something, but he never commands us, he never pushes us, he draws us, and he waits to see our response mm-hmm. to what he begins. And I'm hoping that we as a country, we as a community, just dive into this and say, God,
Come
we are
on.
So hungry for you. We are so tired of the status quo. We're tired of dead religion.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired of church structure, how it's been, you know, hour-long service and this and that, and everything's talking out of my mind and out of your heart. We're so tired of, people are tired of all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want God. This country
mm-hmm.
wants God. And young people especially are just saying, we want to really experience God in a dynamic way. And I feel like God is saying, it's time. It's
mm-hmm.
time. Now is the time. And the prophet said to a city in famine, tomorrow about this time, things are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say to those who are watching, in Jesus' name, by tomorrow, things are going to change for you. Things are going to change in your heart, your life, your finance, your marriage, your ministry, your walk, your health. And those things that have been in any way entangled in a web, a conspiracy of evil, in the when the enemy keeps back the rain, the land dies.
Wow.
People's hearts die. Their souls are famished. We were made to contain the glory of God, and when we don't have those experiences, we become something other than our best, the best we could be. And God is ready to pour into us such a, He is pouring into us such a wonderful outpouring of His love, His majesty, His grace, and His goodness, that it is awakening inside of us things that have been dead or sleeping or dormant or undiscovered.
Wow.
And so tomorrow things are going to change. And so people that have been, Jesus, when He came to people in the Bible, I love the fact the Bible would record how long they were sick, 12 years or 18
That's
years or 38
right.
years. Because people that have been in long-term battles have such psychological issues that they become so depleted, diminished by those things.
And they start identifying
they
with
do.
Their condition.
They're no longer, you know, Sally, they're no longer, oh, that lady with cancer or the divorced lady or that man with the bankrupt thing or that you know, that alcoholic. They become identified by their issue. And Jesus loves to come into those kinds of standings and release a miracle, a brand new life, a brand new expression of who they can be. And so it's never too late for God. It's never too late for a miracle. And I tell my church, I don't care if I pray for you 10,000 times. Every time, it'll be like the first time. We're believing God. Never stop
exactly.
believing God and pressing in to what God has for you.
Do you know that's what happened with Ezekiel? Because God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live?
Yeah.
And in the natural, of course, you know, but he didn't lean on his natural understanding. He went to God. Then God told him exactly what to do. He said, prophesy. And he said, prophesy certain things like bone to bone, sinews, flesh. And then he said, the breath to come into the body. But when the noise started happening and the rattling, everything happened except the breath. So it actually fell short of what the prophetic promised. And then God, and he could have stopped there without getting the full miracle, the full release. But then God just encouraged him on. He said, no, keep going. Keep pressing in. Now just keep pressing in. Prophesy now to the breath. Prophesy to the winds. Come on. Keep pressing in. And sometimes we have to do that in order to see the breakthrough of God in our life.
We really do, because there are stages and phases. There's a progression in the kingdom of God of almost everything. And so wherever we're at, God's Spirit will tell us, well, it's time for the muscles, or it's time for the bone attachments, or it's time for structure, apostolic structure, or it's time for wisdom, or it's time for holiness. And so the prophetic word will be appropriate to what stage of life we are. And then, but the final touch is always that divine surge, that divine impartation of life, and God's Spirit filling us.
Whoa.
And what's happening is God's been remaking the wineskin in the church. And He's been, for whoever will cooperate, He's been restructuring, reordering, He's been moving people around. And what he's doing is preparing a wineskin that He can finally pour into this new wine. You know, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole world's waiting for us. It's waiting for us to get it together.
Yeah,
waiting to see the real Jesus come out of us.
And they want to be set free. They're waiting for
us to do
it.
We are their deliverers. Mm-hmm. God has commissioned us to represent Him on the earth. We're God's partners. We are His co-laborers. Mm-hmm. We are the ambassadors of Christ.
All and creation is waiting for us to take our authority.
They are. There's agony because even the world knows it's time, and God knows it's time. And sometimes in the church, we're just sleeping. We're sleeping in indifference or apathy or complacency or the status quo. And we need the alarm clock of God to say, don't miss this moment.
Exactly.
This is a great moment in history right now, 2008, 2009,
time.
And we can't miss it.
Yeah. I remember, I was just reminded of a real funny story, but it actually happened. I was over in England taking a course a number of years ago, and Mary Audrey Raycroft from Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship was there with me. And we were walking down this path one day and just having a nice time of fellowship. And there was some horses and cows out in the field. And I looked out and I was just inspired with this thought to go up to the fence and preach to them, like preach to every creature. I said, Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
So just for fun, I started preaching way out for the cows, the sheep, the horses out there. I said, Jesus loves you with an everlasting love, you know. Do you know what happened? They all
came close.
They all stopped, looked, listened, and then walked close to the fence. The whole bunch of them, all the cows, all the horses, all the sheep, they mm-hmm. came up to the fence. And we were just laughing because I'd never seen anything like it. And the cows were kind of looking up at the fence, and the horses were just nudging, and they just wanted to be close to the gospel. Even creation.
Yes, it does.
It just struck me. I thought, oh my gosh, we've got to rise up because like creation is waiting for us.
It really is. And that's such a beautiful example because there's such a intuitive design in all of creation to respond to God's glory and to respond to God's kingdom. So when God's kingdom manifests God's glory, it attracts, it awakens, it heals creation. It starts healing things that are broken in cities and countries and families.
I love this.
And people's lives. The kingdom of God has all the answers to mankind.
Yes, it does.
And we are the stewards of that. And so God wants to start pouring out of us wisdom and mm-hmm. healing and miracles and life and structure and guidance. And whatever the world needs, God's ready to pour through his people and pour into their people. And so if you know, the problem is a lot of us are going through things, and so we feel disqualified. But those things are going to mentor us. We're going to find God in those things. We're going to have taproots. We're going to, our season of struggle is going to deepen us in God so deep that when we come out of it, we're going to have a grace that is that helps other people powerfully.
What you're sharing is so powerful. There's so much weight on it. And earlier when you said by tomorrow, everything's going to change. Yeah. Oh, I felt such power on that word. And, you know, there's many of you that are watching right now and you heard that. And it's like, that's just your promise. That is your promise. You're thinking, oh, could anything possibly change? Do you know that overnight, I mean, that very scripture portion, I mean, it just looked impossible. But overnight, everything changed. And by tomorrow, for many of you that are watching, tomorrow, a miracle is going to take place.
Thank
and everything's going to shift for you. Everything's going to shift. Wow.
Amen.
And it's so true. Everything can change in a moment.
Yes.
It can just take a turn.
Yeah. Jesus cursed a fig tree, walked away. The next day, the disciples came by, and Peter said, look, Master, the tree you cursed is dying from the roots up because you stopped it. So I just want to say, I curse cancer.
Come on.
I curse every
in
blood
Jesus
disease.
Name, yes.
I curse every person that's dying. I curse that death inside of them because we have the authority in, through Jesus Christ to speak life to them.
Life
and
in
to speak
Jesus
death
name.
to the instruments of hell. So it's no matter where they are, what stage, you might be, you know, the doctor might say you have 3 days to live, but we say you're going to live a long life. With long life, God will satisfy you and show you his salvation. And so we say that just like you said, Patricia, tomorrow, let's let hope now become faith.
Yeah.
And let's let faith then receive God in the now. The now. The now.
Yeah.
That something's begun in this moment that will eternally change us. And by tomorrow, we'll be different because of it.
Oh, I love this. Now, in your church, Church for the Nations in Phoenix, you have healed the sick. The dead have been raised too through your congregation. I know those stories, and that's exciting. There's the prophetic flowing. There's demons have been cast out, and people have been set free and saved, and the homeless have been looked after, and the poor have been cared for. You know, this is the revival of the church. Mm-hmm. This is what the church is supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And I just want to bless you. You know, Dr. Michael, you are such an example for so many of us, and the wisdom that you've walked in has touched many people's lives. And I just see over your life, I see such a fire in you. And I see, even though you've already walked in all these things, I see a magnification of everything. Earlier, as we were just getting ready and praying for this time together, I saw wheelchairs lined up and you were going and just decreeing the word of the Lord, and people were walking out of their wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And God's showing you things in your spirit that is so big. It's a big picture of what revival is going to look like and how regions and cities and nations will be impacted.
Yeah.
And you, Dr. Michael Maiden, and your church are going to be so powerfully used in this hour. And I just want to say thank you so much. And you know, it's not just for the likes of Dr. Michael Maiden. It's for you.
Amen.
Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is so abundant, so full. He loves you and he wants to use you. All creation is waiting for you to rise up and take your place. And so why don't you rise up in this revival anointing right now? Because we prophesy that you are a revivalist
Amen.
Looking for a place to happen.
Amen.
Revival is in you. Now you just go and let him spill out all around you. God bless you.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen. the Lord spoke to me that there's someone watching this program that actually literally has a brittle bone disease. And right now, the breath of the Almighty is going into those bones and bringing life back and bringing formation of cells that are needed for a real healthy bone growth. And I believe that there's a shift that's coming in the Spirit. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I command that shift in your bones unto health. Right now, in Jesus' name, that's it. Just receive it. In fact, you're starting to feel heat through your body right now. And I believe that your bones are receiving healing.
Amen. I saw someone, Patricia, in a full body cast. And the Lord's touching you right now. You're in tremendous pain, and God is touching you right now. He's touching people with bone pain and bone issues and bone weakness. There's someone, there's a woman that has a very weak neck because of a bad whiplash accident. God's touching your neck right now. And also people with cancer, any kind of cancer, God is driving it from your body. God is rebuke that cancer from your body in the mighty name of Jesus.
There's someone watching the program that years ago, you were actually known as a revivalist. And you were out on the road and you even went into many different nations. And then a tragedy happened. The enemy did a real number on you and you fell into his trap and was in the area of immorality. And as a result of that, you lost a lot and you lost your ministry. And you actually fell away from the Lord. Not that you stopped believing in him, but you fell away from walking close and you had such a burning fire for him. And right now, the Lord, his love is on you right now. And he says, it's not too late. You've always had revival in your heart. I've called you. I called you then, and I'm calling you now. And he is a redeemer of the time and of everything that's ever happened to you. And all he's looking for is a contrite heart. All he's looking is for you to humble yourself and come to the end of your rope and say, Lord, I've made all these mistakes, and I need you to come and forgive me and get to give me a fresh start. And I tell you, sir, right now, you're getting your fresh start. And just as I said the word, sir, the Lord says there's also a woman in exactly the same position that you are also known as a revivalist. And the same thing happened to you. And it all had to do with, a condition of adultery is what it was. And it's like you lost everything as a result. But God's going to refresh your faith. Your faith is going to be revived. Your call is going to be revived. And God is the God of a second chance. And by tomorrow, everything will be different.
Amen. Patricia, I saw someone that owns or operates a car dealership, and this person loves God, but there's really trouble, and his son's having alcohol or drug issues, and the Lord's really ministering to you, sir, and he's going to help your son. In fact, I call your son back to God and loosen freedom from any addictive behavior in his life, but the Lord's after you also to heal you and to just release inside of you the kingdom destiny that he has for your life in this world, because he has awesome things for your life, and he's drawing you, and he's going to heal your heart from all kinds of things that have just been disrupted and very painful in this season. The Lord's touching you right now.